Thanks for being with us. Creating Dementia Solutions. That's our program. It's a Miles for Memories program here on Access Vision and a podcast. So maybe you're hearing us, and we appreciate that too. MilesForMemories.org is the website. Make sure you follow Miles for Memories on Facebook as well, because you'll be alerted when these episodes come available there. I'm Richard Pyatt. Connie Skidmore is here with us, volunteer with Miles for Memories. And as we approach many of our subjects from the perspective of the caregiver, we talked in our last episode about recognizing early signs, but we also want to talk about making a case for dementia screening. I had someone actually say to me when we were discussing this subject, why would you want to know? Why would you want to know about dementia or what type and figure all of those things out? And it was a bit startling to me to hear that. There are reasons to know this, Connie, right?
There definitely are. And you're absolutely right about nobody wants to know. They don't want this diagnosis that tells them that this is as good as it's going to get. And in fact, it's going to get worse kind of thing. But if you go and have a diagnosis and it is dementia, there are so many things that you can help yourself and your loved one with. You need to know what options and things there are out there. And there are certain things that you need to prepare for in the future. It may not be dementia. That's one of the best things, one of the best reasons for going for a diagnosis. Could turn out you have a thyroid problem or your medications are not right and they're causing you to be forgetful or to be whatever. But if it turns out that it is dementia, then you have to move on. You have to make some decisions and go on from there.
And as I say, knowledge is power. So knowing this is important.
That's exactly right. It gives you the opportunity, or it gives your loved one the opportunity, to get maximum benefits from any of the medications that are, or treatments that are available. There is no cure. We know that, but some of the things that you may do may slow it down, the progression, and why not? And it helps your loved one to maintain a level of independence because the medications are making him or her more comfortable with what it is, what's happening. And there's also the possibility there are clinical drug trials that someone may qualify for, and maybe it will or won't help you in the future, but it will help others.
Sure. And without knowing what type of dementia or associated information that comes out of screenings, we wouldn't know this. We wouldn't have these opportunities.
Right. It gives you and your loved one also the opportunity to plan for what may be coming in the future while you both have some input to put into it. If your loved one is in the early stages, can understand these things and realize what may be coming, they can make some decisions too. They may not want to. They may choose to not get into it, but you have that opportunity at least.
You know, I want to linger on that just a second. From the perspective of a caregiver, if they don't want to have that conversation and talk about some of these decisions that might need to be made, is there a way to ease into that without pushing too hard?
I mean, if they just flat out say, no, I don't want to talk about this, I don't want to know anything more about it, I don't know that there is. There's still a benefit because they still, at least for the time being, know that. But you can go ahead with some of these decisions, some of these things that have to be planned and put together.
Or at least talk to someone who might help bring some answers so the caregiver knows.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And some of the things that now you can go forward is alerting friends and relatives of the things that are going to happen, putting together a team, so to speak, of people who will be willing to help with caregiving as time goes on. You can research some of the support groups and things that are out there, some of the home care options that you might be able to take advantage of, you know, just thinking ahead and putting together all of these things. You may even find, if it's going to be a home care situation, that there are things you need to do at your home. You may have to, we took out our bathtub and put in a walk-in shower kind of thing. Certain things like that, things that you just, changes you may have to make to eventually accommodate this. The unpleasant things that they won't want to talk about probably, but you should try to slide it in occasionally if you can, would be what happens when you're no longer able to drive, when your driving skills are gone and you have to do something about it. That's a tough one.
And sometimes on those occasions, it's such an indicator of independence.
Yes.
That perhaps that person doesn't realize that they're at a point where they shouldn't drive any longer.
They absolutely don't. But eventually it comes a time when even they have to realize it. If it's a matter of taking away their driver's license and hiding the keys or something, you have to face those things. It's better if you've been able to talk to them about them to begin with, and, sure. and they know that it's going to happen. Also, the possibility of assisted living. If you get the chance to talk to your loved one about it and they're receptive to hearing it, you might even go and visit some places and see what might be a good fit for them should the need come to do this in the future. Honestly, if that happens, it's probably not going to make it any easier on them or any happier on them when it happens, but you would have the opportunity to not feel guilty mm-hmm. about it, knowing that when the time was there and you could talk about it, you did, or you at least tried
sure.
kind of thing. So sometimes you're doing something good for your loved one. Sometimes you just have to take care of yourself.
That's right. Yeah. And we're back to that knowledge is power thing.
Yes.
Having that exposure to having a look might actually be good to file away those experiences mm-hmm. when it does come time to make a serious decision.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Places are so different. Some of them are large and your loved one may be into that. Some of them are smaller and you just think it would be a better fit.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are shared rooms. Some of them, they have a room of their own. There are a lot of choices out there.
Yeah. And a loved one, a spouse, for example, might not make that move. Is that true? I mean, does the spouse go too? I don't know. What's typical?
Well, there are places where the spouse can go.
Uh-huh.
As a rule, no.
Yeah.
They don't, but they could. They could happen. The way that some of these facilities are set up now, and I think it's pretty cool, is that you can move into a place and have it be independent living.
Yes.
And when the need arises, move to assisted living.
Right.
And eventually assisted living with memory care kind of thing. But for the most part, you want a place where you can visit as often as you want at any time of the day. You can join them occasionally for meals and that sort of thing. There are so many choices out there to make it easier for everybody.
And placing yourself in that environment might help mm-hmm. think that through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's also considerations as it relates to finances and other things of that.
That's
nature.
Really one of the big things. You want to make sure that you have your power of attorney in place, that you have looked at estate planning and that kind of thing, and everybody is in agreement with what's happening.
Okay. Well, and again, all of these things may or may not be something that a person living with dementia is ready to talk about or wants to talk about. And so as caregivers, we need to be prepared for that, don't
exactly.
we?
Exactly. And I think the earlier the diagnosis that you get probably means how much more your loved one will allow you to talk about these things. I mean, if you've just let it go a long, long time and then all of a sudden you're dumping on them that they have to give up driving and they have to stop this and they can't do that,
mm-hmm.
that makes it a little bit tougher. And one other thing that you need to look at too is a support network for a social aspect of things for both of you, really. But it's important for the caregiver to have something like that. I mean, they may say, I don't have time for that sort of thing. I can't do, but they need to make time for it. They need to be able to take care of themselves or they won't be able to take care of their loved ones.
Mm-hmm. Caregivers, we're talking to you with that, with that comment that, it might be difficult to think about oneself when you feel you have to give this level of attention.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I have known a couple of people who have just given up their life practically because they feel that this is the only way that this is going to work at all. And as a result, there's nobody happy with the situation at all.
Yeah.
And it's hard when something does happen to your loved one then, and you've given up all of your life, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to find a balance.
Well, lots of considerations, and all in this particular episode surrounding the idea that there is a case for a dementia screening, and the knowledge that that brings can be incredibly useful. Connie, thank you. Connie Skidmore, Miles for Memories volunteer here on Creating Dementia Solutions. Mention that Miles for Memories website, milesformemories.org. Have a look there. There's technology there that is just incredible. And that technology is reaching further and further in terms of areas where they're beginning to employ this technology that helps someone return home safely if they happen to wander. Have a look, milesformemories.org. Follow us on Facebook as well. I'm Richard Pyatt, Creating Dementia Solutions. Thank you.